Now, I wonder if you prefer safety or security. Sometimes these words are synonymous. That means they're interchangeable. They mean the same thing. But actually, there are some subtle differences between being secure and being safe. And I want us to think about these things over the next few weeks. In 3 weeks' time, we'll think about how Gideon, because we're looking at the life of Gideon in the book of Judges, Gideon had safety in numbers. He didn't really need to rely on God to begin with because he had safety in numbers. But actually God said, no, I want you to be secure in me and go and defeat the enemy by God's power and might. So he refined the numbers. And today it's just a kind of introduction to the theme of being secure, not just safe. And just to kind of give some definitions, safety might be the freedom from danger, and security can mean that as well. But with security or being secure, it's as if there's no need. It could be an emotional feeling or a state of mind that there's no need to be afraid because of something that is present or a person that's with you or as we're going to think about, that God is with you. Choosing safety is something that a lot of us do because we want to be safe from harm. Yes? Some people. You've learned how to cross the road safely. You will choose safety when you're crossing the road. Yes? And it's important to choose safety in situations like that. Don't be silly. Be safe. But actually, there are some things that we choose safety out of fear of harm, and we miss out on something that God may ask us to be or to do in his name. It might be that we want to be a safe person to be with. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands if you want to be that safe person to be with, but you may not do something or say something or just go along with the flow because you want to be a safe person to be with. I wonder how many of us were like that in Christmas parties a few weeks ago. Don't want to rock the boat. Want to be safe to be with. Don't want to say anything. Don't want to cause a scene. They may reject me, so I'm going to choose safety. Maybe you don't go to certain places, even though you know that there are people there that need to hear about Jesus, because you are choosing safety. Safety is, and there are some things that sometimes it's a good choice, but safety is chosen often out of fear. Security with God is chosen out of faith. We're going to have a think about those things over this week. Next week we have a lady coming from Open Doors to speak to us about being secure, not safe. And then on the 28th we'll pick up this theme as well. Now, some people may think that being a follower of Jesus guarantees safety. It guarantees safety for eternity, but not safety here on earth. Yes, some of you are now thinking, but in Psalm 121 it says, God who watches over you will neither let your foot slip or stumble, and no harm will come to you by night or day. Okay, great. But what about in Matthew chapter 10 when Jesus sends his disciples out and he says, you're going to be hated, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be challenged, you're going to have people really reject you. That doesn't sound very safe, does it? And time again, in the Bible, God invites his people to be secure in him rather than safe with or without him. And in Judges chapter 6, we see Gideon's journey from safety into security. But before we do, some of you may not know the book of Judges. It's a book of history about God's people, Israel. Not just the country, but the people of God in Israel. And it comes after the book of Joshua. Now, In the Old Testament, you have God's people going into the land of Israel, which wasn't called Israel at that point, but the land. And then they go into Egypt. And from Egypt, they're in slavery. And then Moses going through the Red Sea. And they come through the wilderness. Joshua then leads them into the promised land. And after the book of Joshua finishes, we go into a history period where there are judges or deliverers or rescuers that God uses to save his people. And just to understand the book of Judges, it's helpful to think of A, B, C, D, E. Apostasy. Well, that means turning away from God. So the people of God turn away from him and reject him as their God. And they go about their own way. And actually, at the end of the book of Judges, there's the summary kind of verse. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Isn't that similar to today, even though we have a king? Hang on. Everyone seems to do as they see fit. And the cycle is that people turn away from God, and as a result of that, the nation goes into bondage. Another nation invades, puts them under oppression. In this passage, the Midianites, they come every harvest time. So they don't stay in the land, but they raid the land every harvest time. So people are working hard, working hard, working hard, and harvest comes along, and boom, everything is taken. It kind of defeats the purpose of working hard, doesn't it, if everything that you're working for then gets robbed. So these people are under oppression and bondage, and they cry out to God, not necessarily saying sorry to God, but they cry out to God, and God raises up a deliverer, a rescuer, a judge, and he rescues his people, delivers his people, and there is ease in the land. That's the cycle that repeats and repeats and repeats in the book of Judges. And we're going to look at Judges chapter 6, verse 11 to 24 today. And in it we see that Gideon is hiding for his safety. And through an encounter with God, God invites him to be secure. If you want a Bible, do pop up your hand, and someone in a blue jumper will give you a Bible. If you want one to take away, then do take the one that you're given, or grab one from the welcome area in the foyer. From verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, and that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. Let's give that a go. Right. Where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. He's seeking safety from the Midianites, keeping things for himself so that he is safe. Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian." Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of his staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." Now, if we want to step from just being safe into security with God, there needs to be some steps. And I want to go through this passage in kind of step-by-step things as Gideon went through it. And the first step, going from safety into security, is to have a fresh encounter with Jesus Christ. You might think, well, these verses, and then also other verses of verse 16 and 20 and 21. Where does Jesus fit into this passage? If you look down at your Bibles or on your phone or in your hands, the name Jesus doesn't appear, does it? So why am I saying that we need to have a fresh encounter with Jesus? Well, let's have a think about the names that are used for this mysterious person that meets with Gideon. In verse 11, and then in other passages, other verses, it says, the angel of the Lord, or the angel of God. But then what do you notice about verse 14 and verse 16? Someone shout out, what's the difference? Sorry, who said that? Give us a... Sorry?
It doesn't say the angel, it says the Lord.
Yeah, it doesn't say the angel of the Lord, it says the Lord. So which one is it? Is it an angel with wings and things like that? Or is it the Lord himself? Well, in the Old Testament, before Christmas, before that first Christmas where Jesus was born as a baby, virgin birth, and the things we've just celebrated, we see appearances of God time after time after time. And they use a phrase called the angel of the Lord. The theological term is a theophany or a Christophany. A theophany, phony meaning appearance, theo meaning God, Christophany, Christ appearance. And these are appearances of God in a physical form, in a human form, and they people encounter God in human form throughout the Old Testament. And it says the angel of the Lord. It isn't a daily occurrence, but it is a regular occurrence throughout the Old Testament. And it uses this phrase, the angel of the Lord. And that's why in this passage, we've got an interchangeable title for this person, the Lord or the angel of the Lord. That's why also towards the end of the passage, Gideon recognizes that this isn't just an angel or an angelic being, but he says, I've seen the Lord or the angel of the Lord. And I'm going to die, basically. He's thinking, wow, because God is so holy, I'm probably going to die because I've seen God face to face. Gideon recognized this person as an encounter with God. And we need, if we're to move from safety into security, we need a fresh encounter with Jesus. One of the things I love about looking through the Old Testament, seeing these Christophanies or theophanies, is we get to play or completely mess up our kind of God in a box kind of thing, or God in a manger. Because before Jesus was born, he walked this earth. Isn't that crazy? One or two of you think it's a bit crazy. But before God came to earth and was born as a baby and grew, he walked in a physical form. And people saw him and spoke to him. An example is in Genesis chapter 18, where we see three people meeting with Abraham and Sarah. Another one in Genesis 32, where Jacob wrestles with a man who happens to then reveal himself to be the Lord's. God walked this earth in physical form before Jesus was born. Hang on. This is our verse for the year. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So at Christmas, when we celebrate Jesus being born, he is coming in the form that he has always been and always will be. And he's come to meet with people, which is what he's been doing in the Old Testament and will always do. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it gives us great encouragement that Jesus is the same, but we need to have an encounter with him, meet with him like Gideon does. God meets with Gideon in his place of safety, in his place of hiding, as he seeks out safety, And he says in verse 12, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now I wonder if you were Gideon, whether you would have gone like, me? Like, is he talking to me because I'm a mighty warrior, not a mighty warrior? If God speaks to you and says, my beloved child, are you looking around? Who's God speaking to? Because I don't feel that. I don't feel worth God saying, my beloved child. Sometimes there are things that we see in Scripture that God is saying to us or saying over us, and our human heart response is, who, me? In Zephaniah, there's a wonderful picture of God as a father singing over his children, his people, rejoicing over you with singing. I wonder if this morning some of you are thinking, no, God doesn't do that for me. I can't be that worth or worthy. God can't love me that much. He must sing over other people, but not me, surely. And what Gideon experiences, and I pray that this is what we experience this morning as well and ongoingly, is that we and he get to hear what God thinks and sees in us. So often we hear people talking about being self-confident, having confidence in yourself. Gideon didn't have much confidence in himself, but he also didn't have much confidence in God. And he needed to know through an encounter with Jesus that God is able and powerful and is with him. And through that security in God, he could do amazing things. And in this kind of conversation with God where he says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He doesn't accept it to begin with. And it might be that God's Spirit is speaking to you already this morning and you're not in that place of accepting it. But can I just encourage you to hear what God is saying to you? And I continue to say, God, I'm open to what you're saying. I'm not listening. Sorry, I'm not accepting it fully yet, but I want to accept it more and more. We need to hear what God thinks and sees in us. Towards the end of the message, I'm going to share seven things that on Wednesday I was praying and just asking Jesus, God, Jesus, would you help me notice people that are going to be there this Sunday? Notice people in advance of being in this room. I was so kind of encouraged that every single one of those people has turned up this morning. Because I believe that God can speak to individuals. I believe God can speak to a whole group of people. But as Jill encouraged us on the 12th of November to pray, God, help me to notice what you want me to notice. Help me to deliver what you want me to say to them. And I've got some of those things to share towards the end. But I believe God wants to speak to us individually today as well as together as a group. So listen to him. And this next step is going to help us with that. Because there are barriers to us stepping into security and stepping into what God is saying over us and saying to us. Gideon is so polite. I would have probably just said, no, you've got the wrong man. But Gideon says, pardon me, my lord. It's kind of oldie English, isn't it? Pardon me, my lord. He says it twice. The first, pardon me, my Lord, is addressing the barrier in Gideon's mind and heart that God isn't able because God doesn't care or God isn't powerful enough or God isn't with them. He has low God confidence. And he addresses that barrier to the angel of the Lord, who at that point he just thinks is a person, and says, pardon me, my Lord, if God was really with us, why is this happening? If God is real and mighty and powerful, why are the Midianites oppressing us every single year, time after time after time, they rob our harvest? And I think that that's a question that might be on our minds, but it's definitely on our friends and family's minds, our colleagues' minds. If God is real, then why do bad things happen? If God is real, then what about this and that and that? God confidence being low. And these questions need to be addressed. And Gideon asks the angel of the Lord, or says, look, if we're to have confidence that God is with us, why are these things happening? And the Lord turns to him and says, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? So it hasn't actually addressed the God confidence or the lack of God confidence, because Gideon doesn't yet know who he's speaking to. Going back to the first point, we need a fresh encounter with Jesus. We need Jesus to speak into our lives and situations and into the things that he is calling us to and speaking to us directly. He then addresses his self-confidence lack. Pardon me, my Lord. How can I save Israel? I'm weak. My family group are weak. I'm nothing, really. I can't do anything. And I wonder if this is something that you have. When God says, I want you to offer to pray for someone, that in Jesus' name, they will be made well. Oh, I can't do that. I can say the Lord's Prayer just about, but I can't pray for someone to be healed. God might not answer, but also I might look silly. A low God confidence and a low self-confidence. And both the self-confidence and the God confidence needs to come from an encounter with Jesus. Or kind of grow from an encounter with Jesus. We need to address the barriers. What are these barriers for you? Barriers linked to ourself. Barriers linked to God. Barriers that stop you or hinder you from stepping into greater trust with God. That cause you to just seek out safety rather than a secure adventure. Can you remember Kayla at the beginning? Yes, I very much doubt she's going to say that was fun, falling back. But she will remember falling back and understanding that her dad was completely trustworthy at catching her. If she just stayed in the chair or stayed over there, she wouldn't have had that learning opportunity. And as God invites us to go on an adventure with him, stepping into his purposes and plans, he invites us to security, not safety. And I want us not to miss out on learning that our Father God is completely trustworthy. What is it that, what barriers need to be addressed for you that you need to bring to Jesus and say, pardon me, my Lord. Well, you don't necessarily need to use that language for Jesus. You can just say it as it is. God, I'm scared. God, I don't know whether you're going to supply for what I need. I don't know whether you're going to intervene. I don't know. Address these things with Jesus. Can you remember I said that safety choices are birthed out of fear? Security choices are birthed out of faith. Giving them to Jesus, trusting that he is able to hear your prayers, is a really good first step here. The passage goes on, and Gideon is told that God is always with him. Verse 16, the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites. How many times have I said that God is with you this morning so far, roughly? About 10? Who says more? About 25. It's very precise. I wonder how many times you need to hear that God is with you before you start believing it. I wonder how many times you need to hear God through his word and by his Holy Spirit saying certain things to you before you say, that's gone into my ear, into my head, into my heart, and now I'm going to step out in it. We put more faith in the fact that the chairs in this place will hold us than sometimes we put in the God of the universe. But the God of the universe has told us time and time and time again in Scripture that he is with us and he is strong and mighty. We need to grow in awareness that God is always with us. The Lord is always with us. But if you're anything like me and anything like Gideon, that step of awareness into trust needs to be tested. Can anyone remember any Sunday school stories about Gideon? What does he do to test God, or to test that it is God? Fleece. Oh, I'm going to lay out a fleece. That's a phrase that a lot of Christians use. I'm going to put a fleece out just to test, to see whether it's really God. And that's a very human thing, because listening to God when you can't necessarily see him, and sometimes it's not an audible voice, you want to make sure it's God that you're hearing and listening to and following. So Gideon, what he does is he says, look, if it is really you and you're really going to go with me, and really, if it is really you, God, give me a sign that it is you talking to me. Don't go away from me, and I'll come back with my offering. And the Lord says in verse 18, I'm going to wait until you return. So Gideon goes and he gets a goat and some bread that he makes and some soup. And he comes back and he puts on a rock the goat, the meat from the goat, and some bread. And then God instructs him to pour out the soup. Now, what will happen when you pour out the soup? What will happen to the bread and the meat? It will get good. It will get really, really wet. And what happens is God instructs him to do that. And with one touch, as we see in these verses here, verse 21, and the angel of the Lord touched the meat and unleavened bread that had been soaked with the soup, and he consumes the meat, not eating up. Fire flares from the rock and consumes the meat and the bread. God shows that it is him. And what often happens is when we worship God and give him an offering, he shows that he is with us by his Holy Spirit, and we're able to encounter him. Worship is a really, really important thing. And what Gideon does here is he offers an act of worship to God, and God shows that he is present by going, tiny touch and fire comes. And Gideon's confidence in God goes through the roof. But initially, it is fearful. And that's why it's important to know that we grow in trust that it is God speaking to us and God with us, and that God is good. The Lord said to Gideon, peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. The Lord is my shalom. The Lord is my completeness. This is the meaning of the word here in the original Hebrew. He is my completeness. He is my security. He is my contentment. He is my wholeness. He is my healing. He is the one that is with me. The Lord is my peace. Gideon then steps out. Verse 25, which a lady called Emma will unpack a little bit next week. Verse 25, God then calls him to step out in this confidence. And hearing God's words is great. But God calls us to be secure in him and to step into the things he has for us. And that comes, as we see here, from a fresh encounter with Jesus. From hearing what God thinks and sees in us. From being willing to address the barriers with him, from growing in awareness of God always being with us, growing in trust in things that it is God and that God is good, and then we step out in faith, secure that God is with us and God is good. I want us to respond to some of those things this morning, and it might be that you are someone that just needs to take time addressing the fears or barriers, and that God is going to listen to your prayers. And during the time that the band are leading us in some sung worship, I want you to address those barriers with God. Can I invite you to stand as I pray? Father God, we thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that you call us into security. For those of us that have loved safety, but are feeling the prompting and the calling, the tugging of you into security with you, I pray, God, that you'll give us the boldness and the confidence in you now, that we will respond by talking with you. I pray, God, that you will release the words that have been shared and bring fruit through them. And for each person who prays to you now or is prayed with now, I pray that you will help them know what you see in them and what you are saying to them. Help them to see. Help them to hear. Help them to feel. Help them to know that you, God, are with them. And you are calling each of us into security with you and to step into the purposes that you have for us. By your Holy Spirit, minister to your people. And for those that are far from you, God, help them to step closer and to meet with you this morning. For your glory. Amen.